all the time. And obviously, we're going to talk about that. You know, you can see our message title today. But, you know, I really, again, want to thank Rick for the last 3 weeks. You know, Judy coercing him into or manipulating him into bringing a message that was supposed to be 1 hour or one 40-minute message that turned into three. And Nancy for being the Rick Wrangler last week. I mean, we did watch you guys, you know, in the hospital room. We sitting there watching service. So, and something that Rick has taught Jenny and I over the years as he's mentored us to, you know, to step into the leadership role here is that you got to live it before you can preach it, right? So, of course, living securely in the day of dread. I Monday morning, we knew Jenny was going to have surgery Monday morning, and so she was in the hospital, and I was at home, and got up in the morning, and I opened a word, and it's September 1st, and so we encourage you to read the proverb of the day, read one for whatever day of the month it is, and I read Proverbs 1, and so we're going to read parts of Proverbs 1, and as soon as I read it, I felt the Lord speak to me and said, here's what you're talking about, because you're living it, so now you can preach it, right? So Proverbs 1, all about wisdom and God's ways. That's what all of Proverbs is about, is learning God's ways, and it's simple day-to-day stuff, right? And it often makes this analogy between two women, if you will. On the one hand is the woman of wisdom, and on the other hand is the woman of, call it the harlot, but often that's foolishness or sin, right? Let's read Proverbs 1. We're going to read 20 through 27 and then verse 33. Let's read nice and loud. Can we do that? All right, here we go. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Now, I made a note in my Bible when I read this, right, that contrary to what a lot of people believe, God wants to make his ways known to you, and it's easy to do that. Wisdom is not hard to find. It's there. It is begging for your attention. But we're ignorant. We just like to choose something different. Let's read on. Because I called you and refused. Who is the I? God, God's wisdom, right? Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Now, that seems a little harsh, right? But the point I'm making here and that I think is important to identify is what? Calamity comes. Storms come. Hard times come. On the righteous and the unrighteous, the word says. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. So, I'm preaching before I preach, but, you know, don't think that because, well, I gave my life to Jesus, so now everything is just perfect from here on. You are seriously deluded. Hard times come. And the issue, you know, like, if you reject God's ways, if you, that's stupid, okay, then it ain't going to get better for you. Okay? Where's Belle at? Belle, I was channeling my inner Jason there. Just, y'all, you know, it ain't going to get better for you. It ain't fun for no one, right? The ER nurse, remember the ER guy, Jason? Jason, right. Sorry, that's for the moment. In the ER, you know, the doc comes in and says, so we have to put this tube, Janet, we have to put this tube up your nose and down your throat. It's a scope, and, you know, and it's like, oh, she's like, oh, it'd be good, you know. Then the nurse comes in who actually does it, and Jason, he was, I don't know where he's from, but he had a great southern drawl. He says, so they're putting a scope down you? That ain't fun for no one, you know, like, okay. Anyway, hard times come, and it ain't good times, amen? All right, but what's the good news? What's the promise? But, let's read verse 33 nice and loud, with enthusiasm, because it applies to us, and we live it, and we believe it, amen? But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. Now, who wants to live at ease from the fear of dread and of evil, right? What's your storm this morning? What's trying to fill your life with anxiety and dread and, what did Proverbs say, distress and anguish, right? What's your whirlwind? Because they come out of nowhere, don't they? I mean, we weren't expecting to just, hey, you know, Jenny had, I mean, it was funny, she's got this page, all these things that are on her to-do list for early September. Guess what? She ain't doing none of them. Nope. You know, going to the hospital for emergency surgery was not on our to-do list. Wasn't even on the radar, you know? And you know, whatever your whirlwind is, whatever your storm is, that comes in all shapes and forms and sizes, whether it's a physical illness, and I know many of you have a serious physical illness that you're battling. That's why I love that this is how I fight my battle this morning. And God, he's gonna do it again. Amen. What a great song this morning. Relational dysfunction. You know, I mean, no, it hurts, it cuts, and you're like, you get blindsided by a betrayal of trust or something. You know? Economic hardship, you know, I mean, we know, we're riding a roller coaster right now, and things keep going up and up and up and up, and passing of a loved one, you know, we have grief share groups for a reason. We understand that that's difficult. So what's your storm? You know, that's I'm encouraging you this morning. The first step to getting victory and getting through the storm is you got to face it. You got to look it right in the eye. Because pretending it's not there, trying to sweep it under the rug, you don't have a carpet big enough to sweep that under the rug, all right? You don't have a closet big enough to cram it into. It's going to burst through. It's going to break out. So face it head on and let God take you through it, you know? We watched Twisters the other night. You ever, anybody watch the new one, the new Twisters? First of all, I'm a sucker for a good disaster film. I don't know why, but I just am, right? And but it struck me, you know, something that resonates within me, recognizing that in life, in any given situation, that there are people who run from a storm, and there's that group of people who are running into the storm. As a former law enforcement guy, I get it. There's most people run from the sound of the bullets. There are those select few who run towards the sound of it. And I love what Tyler Rowland, what he says, you know. Again, Southern drawl, it just makes everything better. You don't face your fears, you ride them. That was pretty good, wasn't it? As my daughter's getting lower and lower in the chair, like, oh my gosh. I saw this, I was looking for that quote, and then I found something else. I was like, whew. The fears we don't face become our limits. Ooh. Let that one ruminate for a while. Rattle around the old noggin here for a while. You know, we spend a lot of time, we run from storms. You know, we don't face, but listen, storms happen, right? We understand. Jesus said, Rick had this in his message a lot, you know, John 16:33. Can we read what Jesus said? Let's read it. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world. What did he say? In the world, you have tribulation. You have hard times. You have persecution. You have difficult things. You have storms. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's read it. I know it's a little small, but read off the big screen. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. I love, you know, man, whenever you read your scriptures, you know, read this, the so that, you know, circle that, highlight that. You know, Paul, Jesus and Paul both tell you, listen, storms happen. Ready for another impersonation? Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, nobody's going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you get hit and keep moving forward. how much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning's done. Yeah, I should have. Right, yeah. Really put the feeling for you, right, Dale? That would help capture the moment. Little Rocky. But I mean, okay, and Rocky's just he's a southpaw, meat punching nobody, but he's got some pretty good experience in life at this point. That's life, folks. If you haven't figured it out by now, again, you're deceiving yourselves. You know, Jesus said he came to give us, you, abundant life. Life to the extreme, the mind-blowing, incomprehensible, overflowing with blessing life. That's what he promised. But the only thing that's free and easy in life is his love, his forgiveness, and his salvation. Everything else takes a whole lot of work. We can't earn our salvation, right? I want to be very, very clear about that before I get accused of some works-based salvation. Not that at all. We are saved by grace, saved by faith in him alone. Period. Amen. But if you want the good stuff in life, you got to work for it. God's like, we sit back and go, okay, God, just, and listen, God is so good. He loves to bless you and loves to bless you unexpectedly and do things that just blow your mind and blow your socks off because he's good, because he loves you. You're the most important, precious thing in the universe to him. But a lot of times he's going to say, are you going to trust me? Are you going to work with me? Are you going to be persistent? I mean, look at this. This is how winning's done. Virtually every New Testament writer uses the word endurance. Everybody say it. Endurance. Endure. We don't like that word. Because what does that imply? Pain. I got to keep at it over and over and over and over and over again. And I don't want that. I want it now. In fact, I want it 6 seconds ago. Jesus said it. Paul said it. Writer of Hebrews said it. James said it. Peter said it. Jesus and Paul use it all a lot. Endure. Endurance. Rick, you had this. This is the story I was going to tell if I was here, right? Rick had up here in his message about, the last couple weeks preparing for Jesus' return and just in his opinion, what to prepare for. Right? And he had Proverbs 28:19. He who tills his land will have plenty of food. Unless the deer eat it first. For reference, that's my garden. That's why I don't have a garden anymore. Right? I mean, first of all, I recognize that, whatever this kind of fence is ain't really doing a whole lot of good. I get that. All right? It was a work in progress at the time, but this is all new. This has all been remade, by the way. This is all new boards and all that good stuff, and it's a lovely flower garden right now because the deer don't want to eat that. But I took that picture. It was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. This deer just brazenly walked into my yard. All the stuff. You can see there's no trees around here. There's no safety. He didn't care. Walked right up there, right into my garden, started eating stuff. I'm like, are you serious? Right, Rick? Everything in the world is trying to eat your stuff. And something he said really struck me about, you got to practice now. If you're talking about preparing for the end times, you're preparing for off the grid and all that stuff. You got to prepare now, because if you think you're going to, your electricity's going to get shut off tomorrow and you're just going to automatically learn how to survive, you're deceiving yourself. It's hard work, all right? It's difficult to grow your own food, let alone enough food to sustain your entire family for any length of time. I mean, and the story I would have told was, this was before this was 1 year. I usually, gardening for me is more of a hobby than it is an actual life-sustaining practice, okay? I like it because I like a fresh tomato on my charcoal burger, all right? Or a fresh jalapeno to air, or make fresh salsa, or just little things like that, you can see, I can't do the math. Those are 4x8, boxes. I got 3 of them, so do the math. I can't do it right now. I haven't had my second cup of coffee, but, it's more of a hobby and enjoyment, and it's about, this little discipline thing, okay? And so the 1 year, I was like, I'll try something. I usually grow, tomatoes and peppers and radishes and simple stuff, and And then one year I was, I'll grow green beans. So I planted a whole row of green beans there. I had probably like five plants or so, and had the vine, you know. And so I started from seed. You know, I start from, you know, seed, and you water it, and you tend to it, and you fertilize it, and then you're letting it grow, and you're keeping it inside, and then it's outside, and because we're past the temperature, and past the frost point. Okay, now I can plant it, and you're watering and tending to it, and good soil, and weeding it, and putting the fence up, and keeping the deer out, and keeping the rabbits out, and putting, put a fence around it so the rabbits wouldn't get in there, and putting this, you know, the non-toxic sprayer on it, keep the deer away, you know, ward the deer off, and all this stuff, and you all that, and through the heat of the summer, and you're trying to tend to it, and it was harvest time. I was like, yay, I went out, and I harvested my green beans, and I had a bowl full like this of green beans. And I walked in and said, Jenny, look, it's harvest time. We got green beans. I said, how much is this in the store? She said, about $2. I'm like, yeah. Steak is better than vegetables, Duff says. Well, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you on that. What's the point of all that? I had this quote up here I want to talk about a little more. Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman says, in a critical incident, you will not rise to the occasion. You will sink to the highest level of training or your preparation. As a former law enforcement guy, I was a use of force trainer and instructor, firearms instructor, and I drilled this in to anybody I went through a class that, you know, how you do it in practice is how you're going to do it in the real world. How you train is how you're going to do it. In the 1970s, in law enforcement, they went through this phenomenon where they realized they had to dramatically transform their firearms training because officers were getting killed at an alarming rate, and they couldn't figure out why. They said, "We train; they know they're good. You know, they're proficient with their firearms. Why are they getting?" And they began studying, and began studying human behavior. And here's what they found: is that they had introduced a training scar on the firing line at the practice range because practice consisted of going out, and this is back in the days of revolver, okay, so you're six shots, and okay, so you're on the firing line, and so you draw your revolver, and you assume the Weaver stance, and you fire your six rounds, and then you reload, and then you fire six more. But the officers learn that, well, after, when training is over, I got to pick up all the brass, and that's a pain, and I don't like doing that. So what they were doing is they would dump it into their hand and put it in their pocket and then reload. And what they found out, they found numerous instances of officers getting involved in actual lethal force encounters on the street and officers dying. And they found more than once an officer laying there with an empty pistol and a handful of brass. Why? Because they did it exactly as they trained. The situation unfolded, and they stood out there in the open, assumed the Weaver position, which makes a really nice inviting target for a bad guy, fired the rounds, and reload and put the brass in their hands, and in a critical incident, your fine motor skills and your critical thinking goes out the window, and all of a sudden they got a handful of brass and they don't know what to do with it. I know I got to reload, but I got this. What do I do? And your brain gets stuck. And they found officers either with the brass in their pocket or in their hands. And they said, we got to change the way we're training. And so it's a lot better now. And when I would train officers, you know, and listen, I mean, practice shooting, that's all good. If you're doing, it's all what you're training for, okay? But I'm telling you, if you're training for life-saving measures, lethal force encounters, you better be moving and practicing firing from behind cover, not concealment, cover, something that's going to stop an incoming round. Move, making yourself a smaller target. Escalate your breathing, because it's really easy when you're, sure, I can fire. I can hit center mass all day long on that. But when your heart's racing at 150 beats per minute, it's going to be a whole different story. And so you got to practice. And so I would have officers, you know, when we would go to the firing line, I'm like, no, we're not starting on the 3-yard line or 5-yard line. You're starting in the truck, 75 yards away. Get out of the truck, run up the hill, run up here. Do a forward roll. Now come up. Keep moving. Now draw your weapon, fire, put two rounds here, two center mass and one in the top, and move to the next one and keep moving. Introduce dynamic training. Why? Because how you train is how you're going to do it. And we use that, you know, I mean, I really love the messages and about preparing and all those things. And then we get faced with a situation this week in which that storm came up out of nowhere, and what we relied on was what we had prepared for, what we had trained for. And so the point of the message today is simply from Proverbs 1, put God's word in your heart in the easy times so it'll be there in the hard times. That's how you get through. That's how you weather the storm, how you get through, right? You know, just as much as you are preparing for the end times in a physical sense and you're, you know, you're storing up supplies and all those things, apply it to your spiritual preparation as well. How you train is how you're going to do it. It's been said this way, and I'm probably going to paraphrase it, but what you fill yourself up with in times of peace is what's going to get squeezed out of you in times of war. So what are you putting in? What are you putting in? You know, Sunday morning, as we were waiting for the surgeon to come in at the hospital, Jenny and I, you know, we got my phone out and we put the service on and worship from live stream along with you. And, you know, the surgeon comes in afterwards and again, very, very professional, and we really, really have the utmost praise for the team there. But she's being honest, you know, and she's laying all the cards out on the table, from best case scenario to worst case scenario. You ever had a worst case scenario in your life? And when you hear those worst case scenarios come out, man, it gets real in a hurry. It's a big old storm cloud. But Jenny and I had peace. I'm telling you, we had absolute peace. We were resting in it. We were trusting in it. We knew people were praying. We were praying. And because just before the doc had come in, you know, we were worshiping right along with you. And this is how the Holy Spirit works, right? You know, Jenny was already scheduled to be off last Sunday. That was already in the schedule because it was her class reunion the day before. And as class president, she has a lot to do with that. And so that was one of those things on the list, right? And wasn't there, right? But she was already going to be off because it was a long day. And so just, hey, okay, going to just take some time. So Jess was already scheduled to lead Sunday. Jenny had already kind of picked the songs 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks prior. We had no idea that on the Sunday when those songs would be being played, that we'd be sitting in a hospital facing surgery, and what a relief and an encouragement to sing along with you, to sing My Jesus, Firm Foundation, and Goodness of God. I mean, let me refresh your memory. Think about this. Now, you're in your storm. Your whirlwind came out of nowhere. Is this what comes out of your mouth? Is this what you can say coming out of your mouth? Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, because he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he fail now? He won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength. Rain came, wind blew, but my house was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm going to make it through because my house is built on you. Now listen, gang, we cried. We prayed. That's human. I'm not talking about some disconnect from your thoughts and your emotions in which... No, God, he's created all those things for you and given them to you for a reason, okay? But what you put in yourself is what comes out. What you put in and what you prepare for in times of peace is what comes out in times of war. And so when we were faced with a storm, we said, God, we will be secure in you, not in ourselves. We are thankful for all the wisdom that you have given, that all good things come from you, from above. The wisdom that any medical team has comes from you. Ability to understand the human body comes from you. Ability to examine and even ways to do that comes from you. That's how you reveal things. Our trust is in you, Lord. as much as you're storing up your physical supplies or preparing, whether it's financially or food or guns and ammo or all that stuff, I'm encouraging you to pay attention and store up, put it aside, the treasure in your heart of God's word, store up for that spiritual battle. Because when the hard times come, especially like right now when we're relatively secure from having to defend our homes or go forage for our own food. But that time's coming. I agree with Rick on that. That time's coming. And that we're going to be here for it. But if you have not poured in God's word, you will not have the will to endure. Why? Why do it? You need the resolve. You need your why. And that's the result of confidence in God's word, right? This is who he is. This is what he does. And the confidence, that's what faith is, the confident expectation that God is who he says he is and that he's going to do what he said he would do. And you don't get there if you haven't done it and the crisis hits and you... It's like an energy, you know, a battery that's just depleted. It hasn't been recharged. It's just not going to be there. Not for the long haul. As I was looking for... And it's all about, how do we do that? All right, how do we do that, Cliff? How do we get there? I get it. How do we get there? It's what you think about. It's your brain is a computer. What goes out is what you put in. So what do you think about? And as I was looking for that picture of the deer this morning in my garden, I came across this screenshot that I had saved years ago. And I had saved it for some reason, but I read it and I was like, oh, okay, Lord. Yep, thanks for bringing that up because you certainly want to share this, right? You can think approximately 300 words per minute. That's 18,000 an hour and about 288,000 words a day. The average Harry Potter book is 154,000 words. So therefore, you think 100,000 more words daily than the most popular novels in the world. So the question is, what story are you writing in your head? Ooh. That's a lot of thinking. Thoughts shape behaviors. Behaviors influence outcome and so on. You probably heard me say it, and I know, again, for many years here. You do what you think, and you think what you believe. That's how it works. And that's from years of addressing and come alongside addicts of all shapes and forms and sizes and all kinds, that's how you have to move your focus from the action to what you believe, because you do what you believe. And so the difference between meditating, engaging in a contemplative or reflection, and perseverating, to recur or repeat continually, intently focus one's attention on a thought, to fixate, to have or display an involuntary repetitive behavior or thought. In short, meditation brings us peace and comfort. Perseveration is unhelpful. Are you meditating on things, or are you perseverating on them? What do you focus on? The good or the bad? It plays in a loop. And gang, listen, I would love to say, oh, you just do this once and you're good. Sometimes... You know, you get a thought, call it that, a panic attack. You know, that storm shows up. Oh, you know. And, okay, what are we doing with it? How are we going to respond to it? What am I going to do? And what do you choose to think about? And sometimes you can say, no, I refuse to believe that, or I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on the good and what God's doing because I know his word. And it goes away. And other times, it is a literal battle, hours, days on end, where you just have to keep telling yourself over and over and over and over again, because that's called endurance, persevering through it. No, no, no. And I'll be, okay, you know, from my perspective, all right, my experience, this, Jenny goes in for surgery, 3.5 hours, and I was out walking laps out in the hospital parking lot. And I was talking with the Lord, and there were times I was outright arguing myself, telling myself, shut up. Because all these thoughts would come up about that worst case scenario, about people who, you know, who have wronged us, and where are they now? And I'm like, what is that even? That has absolutely nothing to do with this situation right now. But who brought that up, right? Is that what we go? Oh, he works here. Let me tip that domino and see where it goes. I'm having these conversations in my mind about what I would say, and I'm like, get out of here. No, this is what God's word has said. And he just said his word over and over and over and over again. And I kept walking until I was sweating. I'm like, all right. And then that peace came, and I'm like, okay, we're good. And no sooner did I do that, and I walked inside, and a doc called me and said, surgery's done. She's doing well. Okay. But that's what it's like. Sometimes it's a battle. Let's read Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 21 and 22. Bind them. What's the them? God's word, his wisdom, right? Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. I love, you know, if you can, you know, when you're, what's your last thought at night? What's the last thing you think before you lose consciousness? You're worrying about something, or you're giving it to the Lord and saying, Lord, here's what your word says about that. And I don't hit it perfectly either. Okay, I don't hit 1,000 on that. I mean, 1 out of 3 gets you in the Hall of Fame at baseball. I mean, 1 out of 3 is pretty good, right? The times you can, where you say, no, Lord, I'm meditating on your word and saying that and just repeating it over my mind, I sleep a whole lot better those nights. I don't know if I should say this. Jenny's not here to reel me in. I don't have a cliff wrangler today, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. I don't know what I had last night, but I had one of the strangest dreams last night, in which I was at a birthday party, and Rick, you were there, and you did a keg stand. I have no idea what that... And then it turns out it was soda. I don't know where that came from, but that was just... Apparently, I didn't practice what I was talking about here. There you go. Here's a visual for you. Please don't let that be the thing you remember from this message. Here's the thing. This is what I love about Proverbs 6, right? When you walk about, they will guide you. When they sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk to you. When you put God's word in your heart, it enables you to rule over your thoughts and your emotions rather than to be ruled by them. That's the biggest difference between, you know, storm chasers and storm runners. Are you ruled by your thoughts and emotions, or are you master over them? Paul said, I buffet my body daily, and I will be mastered by nothing, even my own emotions and my own thoughts. And so I'm encouraged, you know, how do you do that? You know, spend time in the Word. Proverbs is a great place to start. You're going to find something you can apply to your life every day. And it's simple, and it's easy to remember, and it's straightforward language, and it's the basic building blocks of life. Start there and start memorizing it. You know, I have a sheet in my journal of scriptures that I work on memorizing, and I go through them, and sometimes I'll go for a walk and try and say them, right? Be intentional about it. I love it. Elevate. You know, you guys have been doing that this past week about scripture memorization. That's why we do it, gang, because of this. This is the real world application. This is why we're so big on memorize God's word. Not just because, you know, not just so you can get $20 from Duff or whatever it is, or the prize, which is good. It's great. We'll incentivize you any way we can. But it's because of this. Because when the storm comes, that's what's not going to fail you. Say it out loud. Write it down. Yes, there are, you know, there's time and a place, you know, to keep your thoughts to yourself. But man, there's times where you just got to say it out loud. Because you say it out loud, it gives it power. It gives it power to yourself, first of all, because you hear yourself saying it and you mean it. Second of all, the devil can't read your mind, and so you're telling him exactly what you want him to do and where he can stick it. And so, say it out loud. Write it down. You give power to it when you make it in ink, not pencil, in ink. Write it out. It gives power to it. Surround yourself with people who are going to support you and uphold you. You got to know who, Dave, you call it your fire team, right? You know, you got to know who's the ones I can count on. You know, I learned this the hard way about, you know, being selective, I guess, when it comes to hard times. You know, when my dad was in a hospital and he was passing away, you know, we knew that the end was near, and I shared it with a select few friends that and one of them just couldn't handle it. And all of a sudden, I'm on the phone trying to talk them down when I'm the one losing my dad. You know, like okay, that's not helpful. So you got to know who in your life, who you can go to that's going to be support to you and not be an anchor that drags you down. You don't need that in a time in a storm. Stand on the firm foundation. Christ is your firm foundation. What story is God writing in you? Let's read Philippians 1:6 together, can we? I love this. This is one of the scriptures I have memorized. One of my favorite verses, Philippians 1:6. Paul says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ." You know, that was what Jenny said last Sunday. She said, "God's got me." You know, we sat there and looked at the, okay, surgery, and, you know, best case to worst case scenario, and I looked at her, and this is the love of my life, the only girl who's ever been there for me, and I said, my best friend, and I said, either way, it's a win. Either way, it's a win. And I know because I believe what God's word says, because he's proved it again and again and again, and why would he fail now? And even if it doesn't work out, right? That's one of probably the most powerful songs out there, "Mercy Me Even If." Right? I know the sorrow and the pain would just go away if you just say the word, but even if you don't, my hope is you alone. So, the other night, out of the blue, this is our daughter, Bella. Here, kiddo. We trained this one right. Out of the blue, Bella says, "I got something to share with you." Go ahead. Oh. You didn't want the music.
There's no, like...
No intro?
Yeah.
No, I think it's just a story, right?
Okay.
Give us your best.
It's like the great stories, Mr. Frodo. The ones that really mattered. Full of darkness and danger they were. And sometimes you didn't want to know the end. Because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad had happened? But in the end, it's only a passing thing, this shadow. Even darkness must pass. A new day will come, and when the sun shines, it will shine out the clear. Those were the stories that really stayed with you, that meant something, even if you were too small to understand why. I think, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I know now. Folks in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going because they were holding on to something. What are we holding on to, Sam? That there is some good in this world, Mr. Frodo, and it's worth fighting for.
You can stay here. I'm going to call the band up. Music team, you guys can come on up. There is good in the world because the God who loves you is good all the time. And the good work he started in you, he's going to continue. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I think this was Tuesday morning, the hospital room, in the hospital. Looked out and I caught, man, what a sunrise coming up over the mountains there. It was just absolutely beautiful. Everybody say, it's going to be okay. God's going to bring you through your storm. John 16:33. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. 2 Corinthians 4, an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. You can live securely in the day of dread. Amen? Amen. First Sunday of the month, so we celebrate communion, also called the Lord's Supper, commemorating, reminding ourselves of the night Jesus faced his storm. You want to talk about a storm? Attacked on all sides, he was. There was certainly a spiritual war that was happening. He was betrayed by his closest friends. He endured most horrific form of torture and an execution. Ultimately gave his life. Before he did that, knowing full well it was coming, he shared a meal with his friends, much like we're about to hear. He broke the bread. He said, "This is my body. Eat it in remembrance of me." He took the cup. He said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, the forgiveness of sins for all mankind." The Apostle Paul says, as often as you eat from the bread, eat the meal, and drink from the cup, we proclaim his death until he returns. He's coming back. That's the great ending to the story. You know, I don't know what it looks like between now and then, but I know God's got me. He's got you too. He's going to carry you through that storm if you trust him. So I'm going to invite you here in a minute. The ushers will lead you row by row to come on up here. This is an open invitation. You can come just as you are. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for a minute, though. The single greatest decision that you can make is to take the first step to say, "Jesus, I am willing to trust you. And if that's all you got right now, I'm willing to trust you." Nobody expects you to know what that fully means or to have all the answers. But if you're facing a storm in your life and you need somebody to help guide you through it who's never going to let you down, his name is Jesus. If today's the day you are making a decision to give Jesus your life and to trust him, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand so I can agree with you. I see you. I see you. I see you. Greatest decision you'll ever make. Would you pray this with me out loud together? Lord Jesus Christ, I do believe in you. There are storms in my life, and one right now. But I trust you, Lord. I'm putting my life in your hands. And I believe, Lord, that because you love me, because you gave your life for me, and because you rose from the dead for me, that you're not going to let me down. You will work in my life, Lord. One way or the other, it's a win for me because I'm with you. Thank you for loving me, Lord. Thank you for your peace and helping me to live in ease even in the day of dread. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.